host of the wildly popular podcast Part of My Take, along with our buddy PFT Commenter. They just launched the Barstool Sportsbook over in Pennsylvania. That app is doing very well. Our buddy Dan Katz, Barstool Big Cat, joining us here on You Better You Bet. Dan, of course, is a big gambler, so pumped to talk like all things sports gambling with the Barstool Big Cat. Big Cat, what's going on, man? Thanks for doing the show. It's Nick and Ken, You Better You Bet, Radio.com Sports. It is a Wednesday. How's the football season treating you so far, my brother?
It's going well. I just realized that when you zoomed in, I was like way too close to the camera. My face was very, very fat there. That's just a side note. The football season, though, it's going well. As many people know, I love to bet overs. So the beginning of the season was great. We're going to try to readjust here because it feels like it's all unders in the NFL at least. But anytime we have football going, there's nothing better than a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning. You get the whole card in front of you and talking about it all week. I love it. There's nothing better than the fall.
So, Big Cat, the first question I have written down here, this is going to sound like a serious question or sound like we need to like call a hotline or something. But I think just to give people an idea who maybe follow you, you know, on Twitter or whatever, like how big a part of your life is sports betting?
Well, I would say now I have to like, all right, well, I'm a father, so I have a son. So I guess I would put him one. No, it's a big part. It's always been a big part. I love gambling. It's been a big part of my life for a very long time. I think the first time I ever won a bet was when I was like 12 years old at a Key West bar on a family vacation, turtle racing. I won $100. I remember that was very, very cool. But yeah, I've been gambling since I was like 15, 16 years old. Obviously now with the Penn's, you know, Barstool Sportsbook app and Penn buying Barstool, it's kind of the perfect. Like if you ask me what my perfect life would be when I was 35 years old, working in the gambling space, being able to create, bets off the top of my head. I don't create the lines, but I get to create the ideas of behind the bets. It's all a big part of my life, I'd say.
Do you have like one from when you started? Like for me, I remember like I bet on Oklahoma State as a 1-point favorite at Oklahoma. Oklahoma State was ranked. And I remember thinking like, well, Oklahoma State's obviously going to win because they're ranked and Oklahoma's not ranked. And it was Kevin Bookout was the Oklahoma center, the big white dude. And Oklahoma ended up killing them. And I was like, fuck, like I'm never going to win another bet again. That's the one that stands out to me from like the early part of my betting career. Is there a game that either ended positively or negatively that stands out to you like when you first started betting on sports?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it was probably about 4 or 5 years into betting on sports, but I do remember I had Oklahoma. So it's a common theme here in the famous Boise State game. And I was like, how could Oklahoma not beat Boise State? It's Oklahoma. And, the famous Zebranski Statue of Liberty play and everything, it went into overtime. I think it went into overtime. I just remember feeling very, very stupid after that one because I was so convinced. I was like, it's Oklahoma versus Boise State. Boise State can't do anything. And it was right before Boise State became Boise State. So, yeah, that would be one that stuck out for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you bet on a favorite and then like the sot call, like one of the great upsets in sports history, that's usually not a combination. That's probably you want to.
Yeah, and it's also, it also really stinks. There's something like that really sucks because I always talk about, like the bets that you really feel stupid about. There's bets you really feel stupid about when you make. That really hurts. So it's like insult to injury of just losing. But then there's also bets where you miss out on the fun factor, whether it be a crazy upset in March Madness or a Boise State coming, arriving on the scene against Oklahoma in a bowl game. When you miss out on like the underdog having this big, huge moment that just is so much fun and it's kind of like a where were you moment, that hurts extra. You know what I mean? Like if you go through all of like, betting against VCU when they were making their runs or George Mason. I think I had UConn and Rudy Gay versus George Mason on that run. I was like, How could George Mason ever beat UConn? Like that's crazy. And then you look back, you're like, man, it would have been fun to have George Mason in that game. Like that would have been a lot of fun. So those especially hurt.
And I still can. I have the Denim Brown miss three, the step back miss three at the end of that game against George Mason is like ingrained in my consciousness. Yes. That
Marcus
was
Williams. Marcus Williams missed a ton of threes in that game. I had the Tiger Woods Masters last year. I had Brooks Koepka to win like a 5-digit sum of money. So like he barely misses the eagle putt. Everyone's like on Twitter like this is the greatest moment in golf history, and I'm just like fuck everything. This is like the stupidest thing that's ever happened.
That is way worse. Right. That's specific. Like, I know the lexicon and people, as gambling becomes popularized, people kind of understand what bad beats are. And we always argue, like, there are certain times where people don't realize what a bad beat is. They think just because they lost, it's a bad beat. A bad beat, your team has to be, you know, covering for the majority of the game, and then something crazy happened at the end. But there are bad beats as well, where it's an emotional bad beat. And it's like everyone in the world is rooting for one thing, and you took the favorite, you took the chalk, you took the guy that the world isn't rooting for. That's a perfect example. Not being part of the Tiger Woods experience in that case, that really sucks.
I feel like people that have watched your live streams maybe know this, but for the people that haven't, like when I lose a bet, I get real pissed. I cool off, but I'm like, fuck everyone, fuck everything. I get in the pit of misery, I call it. And like, you bring up the Boise State game and like adding insult to injury. So not only did like lose the bet right on Oklahoma, but then the running back, it was Ian Johnson proposes yes, to his girlfriend, obviously, famously. Like, I remember watching that being like, fuck this guy. I hope this marriage fails because like I have just lost money here. And now like he's dancing on my grave. Like, do you get, are you still, or maybe you never did, do you get pissed when you have these bad beats or like when you feel dumb? Or are you able like at this point to like brush it off and be like, all right, on to the next one. I'm able to compartmentalize. Cause I still can't.
I usually will have like a 30 to 40. If it's really a bad beat, I'll have a 30 to 45 minute window where I'm miserable to be around. Just feel bad for myself. But yeah, it does get a little bit easier in terms of just eating losses. I also, it's funny you bring up the proposal. The other thing that just is a killer, when you find out a team afterwards, like everyone hated each other on the team. And it's like something like, man, if I had known that, like the Clippers this year, I think I had a future on the Clippers to win the title. And it was like, comes out afterwards that they all hated each other's guts. And I was like, God damn it, do I feel stupid. Like, could someone have just tipped me off to the fact that everyone hated Paul George and just wanted to go home? Like, I feel so dumb.
Like the Kyrie Irving Boston Celtics against the Milwaukee Bucks a couple of years ago was the same thing. Yes. Like after the fact, like Ryan, like Russillo does a podcast. He's like, the stories that are going to come out about this team. And I'm like, oh, delightful. Like, this is right, so much fun.
Right. Right.
I mean, absolutely. So we were talking about this a little bit off air, but just kind of, you know, like give us an idea. It's like, you know, it's Sunday night football. It's Monday night football, Thursday night. It's a really big game. There's a giant menu open to you. Like, what are some of the bets? Maybe like obscure props. Maybe you're just betting live a lot. Like, kind of walk us through the experience of you betting on kind of like a big primetime game.
Yeah, I'm a pretty like normal straight ahead. I don't do a lot of crazy props. I do, you know, I'll bet. I love overs, but I also do love underdogs. So I try to mix those up. I would say the craziest thing I do is I like to do parlays where, I do like a parlay where it's spaced out throughout all the time windows on a Saturday or Sunday. So it gives you something to look forward to. And I'll usually work backwards. So it's like, oh, I like this game at night, but I don't want to take the spread. I'll just take the money line and then I'll work backwards and kind of add everything. It usually blows up in the noon slot, but that's still fun to build. So those are usually the kind of straightforward, you know, I'll throw some teases in there every now and then, but it's something about teasing. I think it's very funny to like go through the evolution of everyone as a bettor, because there is that phase. Everyone goes through it. It's like almost like your phase where you liked drinking, you know, vodka, or you took way too many shots at the bar. There's a teaser phase that every bettor has had. And you remember finding out about teasers and being like, oh my God, this is incredible. I can move a spread 6 points. Like, how could I ever lose this? And then you realize, oh wait, this probably doesn't always work. So I still will go back to teasers every now and then, because it's one of those things that, you know, like at the end of the day, betting is, we're doing it for entertainment. I'm not someone who's doing it to win money. I would love to win money, but I don't consider myself a professional bettor. So teasers are fun and I will do those from time to time.
Yeah, I think I fall more in the bucket with you, Dan. Ken, more of like the professional here on the show. And like, we have like a saying on the show, and it's not unique to us, but like, we've never put in a teaser. Like, I've never put in a teaser that I didn't think like, wow, like when I hit click, I'm like, pay me, bitch. Like, I just fucking won. Don't even play the games.
Listen, the professional bettors out there, great. Like, I respect you. You're smarter than me. You have better numbers. You have Excel spreadsheets. You can do all these things. I don't care. I'm doing it for fun. I don't care that you know the teasers are stupid. I don't care that you think parlays are like, I'm doing it for fun. So have fun with your little numbers and crunching your numbers and squeezing out wins in here. I'm swinging for the fences. Okay.
And part of that, I think
me here sitting here with my little numbers.
Yeah, your little fucking numbers.
Yeah, you do your little numbers, and then you're like, I had a great weekend. I went 2-1. It's like, well, what's the fun in that?
I was too busy winning. Sorry, I was too busy winning.
Swimming through gold coins.
Bets. Yeah, come on.
I love it. So part of what you're talking about, I think, and we were talking about this a little off air, and I want you to lead into what you were saying about soccer. So like, my favorite D-gen bet of all time, and my friends and I used to do this during NFL playoff games. We would bet like which coach will throw the challenge flag first, because then like you're rooting for like really ridiculous shit to happen. Like, is it a catch? Is it not a catch? Like all of a sudden the players go to the ground and the ball squirts out. Did the player's knee hit the ground? And like you see the coach reach for the flag and like the adrenaline's pumping and it's great. What is your favorite D-gen bet, or one of the ones that you've been doing recently? Because I think this one's really funny and you told us about it off the air.
Yeah, so I have been doing over corner kicks in soccer. So I think no one's ever told me because I think soccer is one of those, it's a very hard sport to bet on, especially with the, you know, with the three-way line. But I never played soccer, but I watch it. I own a team, no big deal, Swansea. We're going to get back to the EPL at some point. I assume betting corner kicks in soccer is similar to betting when you bet hits, runs, errors in baseball. And you're doing that because you're like, all right, there might not be runs, but we know this guy's going to get touched up a little. He might, you know, I'll sometimes do that as a backup, where it's like, you know, you'll lose an over in baseball, but there will be 10 hits aside. And you're like, how did this happen? Well, if you bet, you know, runs, hits, and errors, you usually get that. So corner kicks, if there's a total that it looks like it's going to be a high scoring game and, it, you know, the offenses are going to be pushing. I've just made this up in my head. This is my own computer model here, Ken. Like I just get, you know, I got my own computer up in my brain.
Noted.
I would assume the pace and guy and pushing would lead to more corner kicks. So it's kind of a backup for the over. Like I had the over in the Liverpool game today. It didn't hit, but I also had over 9.5 corner kicks. It did hit. So again, I probably am wrong on all of this, but it is a fun thing to do because it's such a silly thing to root for, like the ball to go off the goalie's hand, or for a player to like kick, you know, to not be able to clear it and to turn around and kick it, or it goes off their head and you're like, all right, that counts. That's all I need. I need a corner kick.
Well, I mean, the best part about that too, is if you're around other people who have like bet on, you know, like the actual result of the game and things that matter, like the ball goes out of bounds harmlessly and you're like, yeah, like everybody just turns around and looks at you and it's like, I don't, you're like, no, corners. Like I got corners, right?
Right. Like I hit a corner. It was extra time. There was like 30 seconds left in the game yesterday.
That's kind of time.
And I hit it. It was over 10.5 corners, and the 11th corner came 90 plus 4 minutes. And I was like, this is awesome. Way to go. Like you're a genius.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really get a whole lot, but one thing I wanted to ask you about, and I know like, obviously like you're telling us about like your actual betting experience. You also like play a persona on, I mean, TV or screens or content or whatever with the Barstool Sports Advisors, with, you know, you and Portnoy being, you know, kind of taking on the tout persona, and Nick and I, you know, like we try to kind of like, you know, we keep it very real on the show. Maybe we sometimes like bash people that do certain things, like actual touts, not like the people you guys are playing, but kind of take us like through the idea of like, how do you get your mindset to like be that person? Like what types of things are you telling yourself? How are you trying to behave? Like what kind of lessons, you know, do you have for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, it really is a role that I was built to play because I've been gambling my whole life, and I have, you know, I've seen the different touts. I used to be on the covers forum and lurk around on the covers forum, and you see the gambling Twitter and people, you know, every now and then someone will pop up and be the hottest new thing. They'll go 5-2 in a week, and then the next thing you know, everything's behind a paywall. So it's like, and I remember Stu Feiner. Like I remember Stu Feiner's on the show. Like, so I was, it's something I basically prepared my entire life for in terms of studying for it. And then it's just whatever picks, because, you know, the thing about Barstool Sports Advisors is Dave and I bet all those picks. We bet every single pick we say. If I tell you a pick, I'm going to bet it. I'm not good. You know, I think I'm like 49% on the season. I'm not good, but I'm betting it. So at least I'm putting my money where my mouth is in that respect. And then it's just ramping everything up. You know, I'll do the last week I guaranteed 5-1 or all my picks were free. The next week I went 6-3. Nice week, but that's not 5-1. So unfortunately, this week I had to give everyone my picks for free again, even though I've never sold a pick in my life. You know, guaranteeing things, the can't lose parlay. It's all fun. And I think we're going to see this as gambling gets, you know, bigger and, you know, more states legalize, finding that balance. Because at the end of the day, there are people who are really good at it and they're professionals and they're people who know what they're talking about. I'm not blessed with that. My brain is not smart enough. I never was a math guy, but I think I can entertain people. And at the end of the day, when you're gambling, it's supposed to be entertaining and fun, and having that fun and giving people picks in a different way than just crunching numbers, I think is something people want and they enjoy.
I couldn't agree more. That's kind of what we try to do on the show, is do it in an entertaining way. And like, I don't know, I know it's obvious, but like the thought of like going, like if I go 5-1 and then giving out 9 picks so you can't go 5-1 is just fucking brilliant. Like it's very simple, but it's also extremely genius. I love shit like that. Want to get your thoughts on some actual games we've got coming up this weekend, man. Your Wisconsin Badgers are in action coming up on Friday night. What are you thinking of Wisconsin here? Almost a 20-point favorite at home against Illinois on Friday night with the Big Ten back, which is awesome.
I know. I'm so excited the Big Ten is back. I am. I'm nervous about this game. I would never bet against my team, but I can't say confidently that Wisconsin, that's a big spread. I do think Graham Mertz is going to be good. That's the best recruit in the quarterback position that Wisconsin's ever had. And, you know, being a Wisconsin Badger fan for college sports, like we're pretty consistent. You know what I mean? We're going to be able to run the ball. We're going to be able to play some defense. We're not going to make mistakes, but 19 seems a lot, especially not knowing anything about what both these teams look like. So I'm probably not going to be betting it. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited for Wisconsin to be back. I do think we'll win the West just because we win the West every single year.
So in terms of Wisconsin, I know, you know, people who follow you pretty closely and for a number of years, you know, the Wisconsin run to the Final Four, obviously beating undefeated Kentucky, losing to Duke in the final. That was obviously like a memorable weekend, you know, for you in terms of content and also tragedy in terms of the way it turned out on Monday. But they did beat undefeated Kentucky. Like, do you feel like with your team, do you feel like you have like sort of like an extra, you know, couple pieces of information? Like, do you feel like you bet Wisconsin a lot, whether it's basketball or football or the Bears, and like you're able to kind of maybe win a little bit more on those because you follow them so closely?
No, it's the exact opposite. Whoever does that, that's a crazy thing to I mean,
who wins?
I would to tell you that I speak very objectively about my teams. Like that Wisconsin run was fantastic. I'll probably never get over that loss because Wisconsin will probably never be back in that situation. But like, and I speak very, very reasonable about the Bears. I think they're a good team. I don't think they're a great team this year. I think that there's going to be some games that they're going to struggle just because their offensive line kind of stinks and they're trying to figure that out. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I always end up betting with my heart when it comes to my own teams, and that always costs you more money. So yeah, that's a crazy premise that you threw out there. I would like to find someone who is like that. I would have actually imagined Colin Wilson like that with his Arkansas. Oh yeah, Nick, are you like that with the Giants?
So like the Yankees, and it's funny, like, as I grew up, the Giants were always my favorite team by like a long shot. Over then it was Yankees, Knicks in some form when I was growing up in the 90s. And now like the Knicks have been so bad for so long that it's kind of like, I don't even like fucking care. It's like, it's irrelevant. But like, I never bet against the Yankees. In fact, like when the Yankees lost to the Rays a couple Fridays ago, it like ruined the baseball season. I can't even watch these games now. Like I bet
you
on
said
them.
To bet
I'm
the
not
Rays.
Even into it.
You said to bet
but,
the
like,
Rays
yeah.
in that game.
Well, yeah, like I like the Rays, but like, I'm not into it. Like I'm not into the game because my team got eliminated. And I hate all these teams. I bet against the Giants every week. I bet the Eagles tomorrow night. So
like the Eagles
I'm curious.
Night. Yeah.
Of course you do, because the Giants are terrible, and I know that.
I'll throw one thing out there, Ken, that I do think that I have at least a little bit of a better read than most people, and that's just the wind at Wrigley. Because you just know, like, if you've gone to enough games that you know how much the wind affects it and how much the wind can change in the middle of a game where it could start blowing out, and by, like, the fourth or fifth inning, it could be blowing straight in. So that would probably be the only spot, but I don't – again, it's baked in the line, so it's not like I'm beating anyone. I just have an awareness of it that maybe the, you know – rookie better doesn't realize when they're just looking, oh, why is this game 12.5? Like, let me bet the under at Wrigley. This makes no sense. Like, okay, there's going to be 20 runs scored because the wind's blowing out and a pop fly that's 200 feet is going to be a home run.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know though if the math modelers I take into account though with their stupid spreadsheets and their calculators and the protractors that the wind can change a little bit from the third into the fourth, which Dan is saying he can do. So like that's where I feel like the math can now become
bullshit. You lick the finger. You go. Under. Yep, let's go.
Yep. Exactly.
So do you ever think that you'll get past that with any of your teams? Because like I'm past it with the Giants. I bet against them all the time, and like I kind of actually, and it's fucked up to say this, I kind of enjoy it. Because I kind of hate the team and I hate the general manager, but like I kind of hate them, so I kind of enjoy it.
No, because if I bet against the Bears and the Bears win, what am I going to do? Like, I'm going to be like, well, I'm not happy that they won because I just bet against them. So it's really just bet on my teams or pass when it comes to all that. So I don't think I'll ever get past it. I don't like to be in a spot where I'm like rooting against myself in any way. So I try to avoid that at all costs.
So, you know, for anybody who obviously follows you, they probably listen to Pardon My Take. Obviously, if you haven't been living under a rock, it's the number one sports podcast. You guys just had Matthew McConaughey on, and I won't kind of spoil a lot of the things, but one clip that you guys tweeted out from the interview and would encourage everybody to listen to it is a gambling story that McConaughey tells, basically about the Super Bowl between the Cowboys and the Bills and how he and his brother basically ended up on Buffalo. They get into like an altercation with a cab driver, basically, you know, as a result of, you know, I feel like people, when they do that pod with you guys, you know, whether it's somebody who's a very serious person or even like, I think you guys did like 3 hours with Bill Walton one time, like whoever it is, they end up kind of like opening up a little bit more than they would. Is that one of the better gambling stories that a guest has told you, or is there a better one?
Yeah, that's probably the best gambling story. I've heard good gambling stories maybe off air from different guests throughout the years, but that's a really good one. And it was so great because, you know, it's talking about the early 90s, so the internet doesn't exist, and but it's so consistent with what we see today, in that no matter what pick you have, no matter what you've said all week, the game will start and there will be some, you know, jerk who will decide to tweet you in the middle of the game being like, you're an idiot for not seeing this. It's like, well, guess what? If I could have made my bet halfway through the game, yeah, I probably wouldn't have bet the way I did. So the story being that the cab driver basically said to his brother, like, why would you bet on the Bills? That's the dumbest bet ever. So we get that today on Twitter, no matter what. I'm sure you guys see it all the time on a Saturday or Sunday where people are just correcting all of your bad picks all day long. And it's frustrating. And I just enjoyed the fact that that still happened 20 years ago or 30 years ago.
Hey, you know what the good news is? You tell those people, well, McConaughey couldn't say this, but you can say this to the Twitter people. We can't do like, well, thanks for following. Thanks for like literally like basically giving me the money that I make to do this by whether it's negative or positive. Like that's, you know, appreciate you being a fan.
And then die and burn in hell is what I would throw in there. But that's just
right. Yes. And then also this. Right. Also die in a fire. Clearly. Yeah.
I usually hold back. Yeah, I'll hold back, but I'm taking mental note. I also, like, again, like I said, I bet every pick that I say, so you don't think I'm mad? Like, I'm mad. What do you want me to say? I'm losing money when I make a pick and it loses, I'm losing money. I'm not just throwing picks out there for fun and hoping they hit so I can go around and tell everyone what my record is. Like, I know my record's going to stink at the end of the year, but I'm still going to bet it.
Yeah, so I obviously we got your thoughts on Wisconsin. Apparently, maybe, you know, an irrational Wisconsin fan, maybe we can't win money on Wisconsin. Can we win money on the Chicago Bears? I think it's up to 6-point dog on Monday night against the Rams right now. Like, I kind of think they can win the game outright, but that's like me, the spreadsheet, you know, that's me using the microchips and not maybe the brain computer that you possess. Bears fan, what do you think about the Monday night game against the Rams?
I do think they can win that game, and 6.5. I mean, the Bears just keep getting disrespect, and I get why, because their offense does look bad. And there's, you know, Matt Nagy. I don't love Matt Nagy as a play caller. I think he's a good coach. I've kind of come to terms with him over the last couple of years. Like I've been very frustrated with him at times. And I think I've realized that like he has limitations as a play caller, but he is a good coach that gets a lot out of the guys. But to me, their defense, and I think this speaks to Nick Foles and what he brings, the intangibles that he brings. And what I mean by that is Mitch Trubisky, and I think he's got a raw deal in the fact that, like, no one – he didn't ask to be picked two, right? He didn't ask to be picked ahead of Mahomes and Watson. He kind of, like – it didn't work out, but he's the butt of many jokes. But when Mitch Trubisky was playing quarterback, the Bears defense knew they had no margin for error. And they knew that they had to play a perfect game every single game because the offense wasn't going to be good. I think with Nick Foles, even though the offense hasn't looked great, they know, the defense knows, they can take a few more risks, be a little bit more aggressive, have a little more teeth to their defense like what we saw 2 years ago, and that changes everything. So I think the defense is playing better just by Nick Foles being there, being the quarterback, and being like, hey, if we're in a close game at the end of the fourth, or like late in the fourth quarter, Nick Foles will be able to make some plays to win this game for us. So we can take a few more chances here and we don't have to play maybe the perfect level and the pressure isn't all on the defensive side.
I like the Bears on Monday night, man. I can't wait to bet them. Can't wait to get frustrated with the play call.
Do you guys know, my problem is, and obviously it's the Bears, so I'm going to take them anyway, but my big rule is if I ever find myself truly in love with an underdog, like really in love with it, it always loses, no matter what. Like, I love the Raiders on Sunday night. That's going to lose, but I love
Well, all their offense, all their offensive linemen may have coronavirus, so I think you may want to rethink that
love
one.
It's all love them even more. That's even better.
Love it.
It'll hurt for everybody.
I want to close with this, and this is a question about kind of like the beginnings of a part of my take. I first met you, I want to say maybe it was 2014 or 2015 out in Vegas at an Odd Shark party. And I remember like seeing you there, and like we had never met, but like I knew you from Twitter and like saw your picture, like your Twitter avatar. So I looked, I was, okay, that's Big Cat. I knew Big Cat was going to be here. Looking, I knew some people. I had been there a couple of years. And then I see this other guy, and I have no idea who he is. And like we're in the lounge, and I'm fucking hammered basically right at this point. And I think I said to someone, or someone said to me, that's PFT Commenter. And I remember like at the time, he was just at that point, like doing like the NFL satire thing on Twitter, like the hot take satire. And I thought I remember going up to him completely wasted and just fanboying out, being like, dude, you are like the intersection of highbrow and lowbrow. It's absolutely fucking hilarious. I think you're the fucking funniest. Like, I couldn't believe it because like I'd never seen him before. Oh, well, that's him. Great. So I went, and I think we played blackjack that night, or at least I did with PFT. I was really drunk. Not sure I really remember, but I think you have like talked about like meeting him, someone like talking to him about doing a podcast. Like, do you remember that night? Like, not the me part of it, but like that night specifically with him. And like, was that like one of like the early startings of what has become part of my take, like the number one sports podcast?
So I think if I remember correctly that, yeah, like 2014, we had already met once before. So we, back in the day, we always would get tagged in each other's tweets, being like, oh, you stole this from, you know, Big Cat, or you stole this from PFT. And so we started DMing and being like, there's a lot of parallel mind here. I think the one big one was like, we both had independently thought like, why isn't anyone accusing Cal Ripken of steroids? Let's start that. And so we started talking. He was in Chicago for something and we got a beer, and then we started, you know, a friendship from that. And I think that was maybe one of like that Vegas trip was maybe the second or third time we had hung out. And yeah, when his contract came up where he was at SB Nation, it was like, hey, let's try to do something here. Like, this would be awesome. I think this would be a great podcast. I think he would admit, and I'll admit right now, like, never in our wildest dreams would we have a podcast that's been number one for basically 4.5 years, the entirety of the show. But, you know, we got kind of lucky too, because it's a podcast that, it, you know, fit a need that wasn't there at the time. And it also came around at a time when podcasts hadn't really fully hit that bubble yet. So they, you know, just starting out where it was starting to get really, really big. So we got lucky, and, you know, it's been awesome. It's been an awesome ride.
Yeah, you guys have killed it. And I got to say, man, like, just from the times that we've interacted and the times I've interacted with PFT, like, two good guys, man. And like, know your shit and like, loving you in the gambling space. So really appreciate you coming on, everyone. I'm sure they do already, but be sure to check out Part of My Take, Barstool Sports Advisors, the Barstool Pick'em Pod, all the great stuff that Dan does, and of course, the Barstool Sportsbook app. Big Cat, we appreciate you, man. Best of luck this weekend, and hopefully we can have you on again soon here on You Better You Bet.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.